Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 1907, Amy Archer and her then husband James moved to the town of Windsor, Connecticut, and purchased a home at 37 Prospect Street, known as the Carlton Homestead. They opened a home for the elderly and began taking boarders.
Word traveled fast about Sister Amy's nurturing tonics and nutritious meals, and demand for her personal care rose rapidly.
That was until word got out about the deaths of over 60 of her patients between 1907 and 1917. Including five of her husbands, all of whom had named her in their wills right before their untimely deaths.
The police launched an investigation into the strange occurrences at the house, and by the time it was over, authorities found that Amy was adding arsenic to her recipes, leading them to believe she was responsible for at least 48 of the deaths in her home.
What was behind Amy Archer's murderous spree?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back, everyone. It is a fun Thursday day recording, but it feels like Friday.
Okay, thank you for addressing that, because I feel like when the second we logged onto Zoom, I thought I was a human, but I'm like, am I drunk? And I'm like, no, but no. Something's in the air.
I'm going to forget to work tomorrow, but...
Love
anyway,
that.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. You guys know the deal. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. We're your partners in wine, crime, and time. And we got a doozy for your ears this week.
Yeah, this is like, I hate saying it's a fun one because a lot of poor, vulnerable people were murdered. But like, it's so interesting.
It's so interesting. It also is a thing, kind of just obviously you guys can put together a few details of it from the intro. It's something that I guess happens so much more frequently than I ever thought after I saw that movie, I Care a Lot, on Netflix.
I had to turn that off. I was like too disturbed. I got 10 minutes in and was upset.
It was a lot. Yeah. But I was like, what is this like weird thing she's doing? I'm like, oh, this is like a thing people do.
Yeah. Like elder abuse scams are really rampant. Shouts out to Jen Shaw, because she allegedly was running this telemarketing scheme, and a lot of the victims were elderly people.
So, I mean, that's what she gets for smelling like hospital, I guess you could say.
Now she's going to smell like prison.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. But so today we're going to be talking about the murder spree of Amy Duggan Archer Gilligan. She has three last names. They're all hyphenated. I'm just calling her Amy.
Also, three last names, not because she's like Beyonce, Giselle Knowles, Carter. It's like, no, because she has a lot of husbands that mysteriously die and she gets in their wills. And also, I do want to shout out, I found out about this case because Every Day is Food Day podcast had me on theirs. I think the episode will be out by this time. They're super fun. Check out my episode with them all about poisons.
Love that.
Yeah.
I also love this lady's like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt vibes. It's too much. You're Amy. That's it.
Amy Arsenic.
Yes. Well, this lovely woman was born in 1868. Also, got to say, big shouts out to the Windsor, Connecticut Historical Society. They had a very, very thorough like webpage on this entire spree.
I got to say shout out to, because I feel like you don't hear a lot going on in Windsor. So I feel like they probably were like, this is our moment. This is our moment.
It's like, what else do you have in your town besides this murder spree that inspired a Broadway play? Yeah, like,
you got the gifting tables a few miles over, but besides that,
oh my god. Yeah, but not home to Windsor, so shouts out to them again, the historians. So that's where we're getting a lot of this info, but as always, our sources are in the episode notes. In any case, Amy, our girl, was born in 1868 to James and Mary Kennedy Duggan in Milton, Connecticut. So she like started off with too many names.
Too many names, and can I say too many rich names? Like, I'm getting Kennedy and a Duggan, not Duggar, which we can maybe get into in a different episode, but Duggan. I'm like, whoo, that is wealth.
Yes, so true. Yeah, well, we might have to talk about the Duggars on another episode.
God damn it. Probably.
Too, but actually probably not, because like I'll vomit. It's just too disgusting. Yeah. So Amy was one of 10 children and she was the eighth child, which is like a lot of kids. Yeah. And so now, according to a book called Chronicles of Milton, Village Left Behind by Time, Amy's sister was disabled because she either jumped or fell from a second story window. And then also two of her siblings suffered from mental illness and would later become residents at the Connecticut General Hospital for the Insane, which I guess then is interesting how she kind of then turns around and takes advantage of elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy married James Archer in 1896. According to some reports, according to our favorite people at the Windsor Historical Society, that they said 1897. So I don't know, give or take a year. The give late 90s, you know.
Yeah, and also it's like, give or take this anniversary, because there's some other anniversaries she's got going on. So
yeah, that's very true. Then after they got married, they had a daughter together. Her name was Mary.
Classic.
So then, and this is where things get going. I feel like this is where Amy sort of found her grift. So I don't know how this came to be. Danny, maybe you know.
I think it was because they, like, this, because it was a new thing then, like taking care of elderly people, because it was the first time too, a lot of times during this era that, like, not cities were like expanding so much, but like it was a lot of times where people were like, oh, I'm not just working at the local mom and pop shop. It's like I'm going away to work, or I'm traveling more, or I'm moving from home a little bit more than usual. So then there were a lot of older people around that used to just be able to like live with their kids until they died, or like had like an aunt or something like that nearby them. But this was like kind of a new thing in the beginning of the 1900s, where like a lot of old people were left in towns without their family or without anybody they knew.
Yeah. So then in 1901, a widower named John Seymour hired Amy and James to be his live-in caretakers. And they basically cared for him in exchange for room and board. So, I mean, I don't know how they got linked up with him specifically, but yeah, I do remember reading that there was like a big hole to fill in this market right around this time.
I know. And it's so interesting, because I mean, I guess it was one of those things too, that I always, because obviously we grew up, I was like, nursing homes and homes like that were just a given, but like there had to be a time when that wasn't a thing. And also it probably was such a shock to people's family culture too, because I'm sure that was just like, oh, you don't live with your parents don't live with you until forever. You know what I mean?
True. True. So Seymour died in 1904, but then the Archers stayed in the house as renters who would then care for elderly boarders. But then in 1907, the Seymour family sold the home. So then the Archers moved to Windsor. They opened the Archer Home for Aged People, again, in Windsor, Connecticut.
I did not know aged people was a term, but okay.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of terminology that I was like the hospital for the insane was not a term I would use, but that was literally what it was called. Yeah, so,
exactly.
You know, so there's a lot of terminology that has not aged. I suppose that's a blanket disclaimer. And yeah, as we,
that's so you learned a lot of facts and not another True Crime podcast. Things don't age well.
Yeah. Like how not to refer to like an assisted living facility.
Yeah.
But yeah. So as we mentioned at this time, the like nursing homes, assisted living facilities, like elderly care centers were just not really common. So this was actually kind of revolutionary. And this would be like, oh, shouts out to an entrepreneur if this wasn't a true crime podcast.
Yeah, yeah. This is not, unfortunately, a podcast about girl bosses building their own empire. It's about girl bosses sometimes, but not, and building scam empires, but not this episode. I mean, kind of.
I mean, she definitely did build a scam murderous empire. So there's that, I guess. So Amy and her husband, whose name I already forgot, and that's feminism. They advertised their home in the local papers, and boarders could either pay like a weekly fee to live in the home, which would range from $7 to $25, or they would pay a lifetime care fee of $1,000, which was a good chunk of change back then, because I'll explain in 2 seconds. So it seemed like a good idea, and I guess it was. But they quickly started to run into some problems, because even though like regulatory agencies weren't really a thing for, you know, an elderly boarding home back then, the Archers did still get in legal trouble. In 1909, they got sued by the McClintock family, and they were sued over lack of care given to one of their family members. The Archers ended up settling with the McClintocks for $5,000, which today, or actually in 2018, was about $133,000. So, damn, you know, maybe up it a little bit for inflation now, but like that was a lot of money. So charging a $1,000 for lifetime care is like, you're definitely getting a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
And then this is where things start to get suspicious, I would say.
Some eyebrow raises. I'm like, yes. Some of the different emojis you don't always use.
Yes, a big hmm. So in 1910, James died of kidney failure, and Amy was a little bit in trouble because Mary, her daughter, was 12 at the time. Mary went to this like performing arts kind of music school, and tuition was $410 a year plus a $50 annual fee. So again, this is like thousands of dollars. Also, Amy owed back taxes. So the lady was in some, I know, just like any real housewife, right?
She would have been on a housewife franchise if this was present.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, why isn't there Real Housewives of Connecticut? It would be so understated and waspy. Like that could be
really
kind of fun.
Really would, yeah.
Maybe that's okay. Just Arrested Development. I don't know.
Also true.
And here's some interesting context too, because Amy kind of tried to like petition to just get her back taxes, I don't know, waived or excused, or even just get a better deadline. But at this time, the town was expanding really rapidly, so they ended up doubling the budget in 1911, which meant increased taxes. So she was kind of like shit out of luck.
Also, really, you have to hands off her confidence, just like petitioning, like, guys, who thinks I shouldn't pay my taxes? Can we all come in an agreement?
Well,
I know y'all did.
I don't think she was like having people sign a petition, but yeah, she was definitely like writing letters to whoever the tax people were. I don't think it was the IRS, because that seems like way too informal, but I think it was like whoever she paid the city taxes to just be like, hey, can you like give me a little break?
Right. No. Yeah.
Which like, should I try that?
Hey, you miss 100% of the taxes you don't pay.
All right. Oh my gosh. But also it was interesting at this point was because like, I feel like Amy was known for being very charitable and like spending money. She would go to church regularly. She donated a stained glass window to the church, which seems expensive.
Expensive and elegant.
And elegant. So, I mean, the people of the town really liked her. And maybe this is part of why she was able to like get away with it for so long, was because half of the people were like, yeah, this lady bought a lot of arsenic. And then the other half were like, Amy, she would never.
Ames? You're talking about Ames? Like, you know, you're going to have that. Yeah.
Not Ames. So, I mean, how did she get so rich? Well, I don't know. Maybe because in order to get into her home, she would have men sign over their life insurance policies or give her $1,000 when they checked in. And then everything was going cool, except that neighbors started noticing she was buying alarmingly high amounts of arsenic.
I'm sorry. Isn't any amount of arsenic purchasing kind
of
alarming?
That's what I'm thinking. But and this time I feel like it was used for medical reasons. She bought it at like a drugstore. And she claimed that it was like a rat problem.
Okay. I don't think rats get into Connecticut, but okay, Ames.
Yeah, right. They're like legally stopped at the border of Connecticut. So some suspicious things going on, but nothing too crazy yet. So then in 1913, Amy married Michael Gilligan. And this is a fun fact because she lied about her age on the wedding license application to make herself like younger.
Shout out. You know, I actually find no fault with that, girl. Do your thing.
Right.
Do your thing, get the ring. Yeah.
Who amongst us is not, you know? Yeah. But then Michael mysteriously died 3 months later at 56 years old.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is where things start to get iffy, because you know who you don't want to piss off? The family.
Never the family. Nope. Because they get greedy for some things too. And they also get suspicious over their loved one dying. It's a bad double.
Exactly. Especially if you're going to off your husband, like after he signs over his assets to you, I think you should wait longer than 3 months.
Yeah.
Just a tip. Because basically after Michael died, his family found out that he had a new will that left his wife over $4,000, which was his entire estate, which, as we mentioned, is like a little over 100 grand. So, you know, man, the man was balling. Good job.
Shout out.
So the family is fucking pissed when they found this out.
I would, yeah, you're really a little pissed, be like, okay, 3 months in, you get the entire estate. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very like Knives Out vibes, I feel like.
Oh, the sweaters.
Yes. And then Michael's death certificate listed the cause of death as a valvular heart disease, with the secondary cause being acute bile attack.
Bilious attack. Bilious,
but I think it means relating to bile, which I don't know what that means, but like I'm going to just guess like I do in our trivia and say it has something to do with like your stomach.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like poisonous bile, mm-hmm. but it's like cute. Like, you know,
but
what I mean?
Make it cute.
Yeah, because it's acute. So it's like, hi. And like, it didn't know it was poisonous. And it's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I totally ruined your body. I'm so that's on me. Like, it's the girl who spills the wine on the rug, but it's like, I'll get you a new one. But it's like, honey, I don't know where this rug is from. I don't know who you are. The rug is done, except in this time it was someone.
Like, you were a friend's friend. Like,
It's always those motherfuckers who insist on red wine. And I mean, I love myself some red wine, but not on my rug.
No. Top five worst places to have my wine.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so her husband mysteriously dies. She ends up with his whole estate. But the thing is that Michael wasn't the only one dying, because the residents at the facility kept dying too. Between 1907 and 1916, 60 residents died at the home, and 48 of those were in the last 5 years, so between 1911 and 1916. So, like, that's not a good track record. 48 people in 5 years, that's not good.
That is a lot of... There's no inflation with that. That is just purely the same amount of people present day, and that's too many.
Yeah, way too many.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
One of these deaths in particular caught some attention and caught some interest. So this was Franklin Andrews. Franklin was only 60. He was a young man and somewhat disabled, but would still do yard work, chores, errands, all that stuff for Amy. So like, obviously you had like, was able to do manual labor and things like that.
Yeah. So like the man was doing fine. Maybe a little old by 1911 standards or whenever this 1914 standards, but like he was fine by all accounts.
Yeah, hey, more active than me. I'm not doing no yard work.
Honestly, true.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think I would be able to do that.
I take out the trash and I'm like, that's it.
It's too much. He was close to his family and would write them letters often, which is sweet. But something he would mention in these letters were the frequent deaths that occurred in this house. It's like, home. If I got that letter, I would just be like, oh, that's sad. I guess it is a house where there's a lot of like maybe like sick people living. But now looking through this, would I be more like on alert? Like, what's going on in this house? Like the second I got this letter,
I don't know. I mean, I think by the 48th death, you're like, yeah. All right, something weird is going on here. Like we should figure this out.
We should check on something. So one day in 1914, he was working around the house, painting, doing his thing, when he collapsed and later died. And the cause of death was listed as a gastric ulcer.
Interesting.
Interessante. His sister went through his things and found a $500 loan to Amy. And also she found out that Amy was apparently pressing Franklin for money. So like trying to for some cash from him.
Yeah, she was like, bitch, better have my money.
Yeah. It's like, don't call Franklin a bitch, Amy. So the sister alerted the authorities and the Hartford Courant. And
was a newspaper.
It was a newspaper. Yeah, not like a fun. Does sound like a coffee shop, though. It
low-key does.
Yeah, it's just like Luke Danes. Ooh, Courant. Can I have that Hartford Courant? So not shockingly, the DA... DGAF about this. They were just like, okay, lady. But
they were just like, meh, they're old. People are dying. Like, they just didn't care.
They were like, you want us to do what? Our job? No, thank you.
Oh my God. This is like a common refrain on this podcast.
Truly. Just like no one wanting to do their job. Yeah. But you know who did want to do their job? The Hartford Courant.
Oh yeah. Journalism for the win.
Journalism for the win. Local journalism. Shout out. Yes, I mean,
you got to support local journalists.
This podcast really is a big advocate for local journalism.
It's true. I trust their sources like more because I don't know, just for like the local crimes that we cover, I definitely trust the local news.
Yeah. And also it's like, you don't want to like, they actually know like the ins and out of places and can like be like, why this is suspicious besides like being some like head honcho reporter so disconnected from everything. Being like, this is something happening. You know what I mean? So shout out to them.
Totally.
So they started investigating and they found some weird things. 48 of the 6 deaths that happened between 1911 and 1916. So that is 40, like that is a lot of deaths between this 5-year period. And this was coincidentally a period of time in which Amy was having notably, particularly, interesting money troubles.
Interesting. Interesting.
This girl's a little tight for cash, these 5 years. Also, a strange coincidence in the deaths. They were sudden deaths caused by stomach problems. And let me tell you, I get a lot of late night Uber Eats when I'm drunk. The stomach problems don't cause you death. They cause you a lot of other things. But this was very interesting to note of all these people.
Yep.
Then the reporters visited the drugstore. Like, this is why I love local reporters. They're going to the drugstore to check the records for arsenic purchases, which also makes me laugh that like this is like how different like the 1910s were. Just like, can I see who's been buying arsenic? And everyone's like, okay, like you have that.
Like it's literally
full on. It's a wonderful life.
The neighbors were like, that's maybe a lot of arsenic. And the other half was like, she just has a rat problem. What are you going to do?
Yeah, she's got a rat problem. You're like, what's going on here?
This is how everyone talks, I imagine, back then. Maybe that's the 40s. I don't know.
Well, when we did the Natalie Wood case, I feel like that we talked about that, how like the accent shifted. I'm like, what is this like interesting American accent that is no longer?
No, they all had this. I looked it up afterwards and unfortunately I did not retain a single information, but it was like, it was a distinct thing. Like it was a distinct way of speaking that I don't know. They like spoke for various reasons. And I think it had to do with like the way that sound would transmit.
Huh.
But that's I could cool. be wrong and someone might feel free to correct me, but it was like, it wasn't just like a weird thing. It was a concerted
effort
thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. You know what else was interesting?
What?
That Amy purchased 10 ounces of arsenic right before Franklin Andrew's death, which is enough arsenic to kill over 100 people.
Okay. That is so much.
How can you buy that much? I mean, like,
why would you buy that much? Like she's stockpiling for her next 100 murders. Like she just ran out. She only got 5 ounces before and she killed 50 people. So now she needs more. Like
that's my thing. And also shout out to anyone dealing with allergy season right now. Cause you'll relate to this. Why must I, when I go to Walgreens, like read, like do a whole song and dance, literally 2-act play to get some Sudafed?
Oh yeah. I mean, the government is tracking my Sudafed purchases and sometimes I get bad colds or like sinus infections where I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to end up on the FBI watch list for meth because I just keep buying a pack of Sudafed like every week.
No, same. And I'm just like, it's good. I'm not, trust me, I'm not using this for anything else besides to make my eyes stop being itchy. You do not have to worry about that.
If I like knew how to make meth, like I wouldn't be dressed like this. Like I'd be rich, probably. Yeah,
true. I know, you're right. I would have like I don't know, a burn on my hand because I'm bad with beakers. Someone did set my hair on fire once in a middle school science class. Wow, I completely forgot about that. Wow. Thank God. Only like a little bit of it, but still, it smells so bad. So the evidence got the state police to finally investigate.
There we go. Journalism win.
Several bodies were exhumed and Franklin Andrew's stomach was said to have contained enough arsenic to kill 6 strong men.
That was like the, I think that was the testimony that someone said in court where they're like, enough to kill 6 strong men and maybe 2 weak men. Like,
oh my God, wait, that would offend me so much. They'd be like, I'd be like, how much arsenic? They're like, that's more than enough to kill you, Danny, you weak bitch. And I'd be like, stop it.
I got to start working out so the arsenic has to work harder to kill
me. I guess, I mean, hey guys, this is a motivation to get some hot girl summer going on, even though hot girl summer, everyone's hot girl summering. So like, shout out.
Yes. Outlift the poison and then just like outrun murderers.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a lot of wins. I mean, honestly, Meg the Stallion loves anime. I don't know if any, and horror. So she could actually do a whole hot girl summer movie like that.
I can see that.
I could really see her do that. Oh,
I could see it would be cool if, like, you know how Get Out took I Got Five on it and made it really fucking creepy.
Ooh, yeah.
Like if they somehow do that with like Savage.
Oh.
Or I could see a really creepy horror movie remake of like Body.
It's like Hannibal. It's like Hannibal Lecter. I'm eating Body. Yada yada yada.
Like something to that effect. Right. Also, I think I said Get Out, but the movie was Us. Anyway.
But it was Us.
Just want to fact check myself. So don't DM me because I know I fucked up.
She knows. and who also was found out to fucked up, Amy, who was arrested May 8th. That's like, that's this weekend.
Oh my God. Weird. The anniversary.
Okay.
Wow.
May 8th, 1916. For all the Yankee fans, they know 1918 was the last time the Red Sox won the World Series until I think a few years ago, too.
Good for you. I wouldn't have remembered that.
So the day after her arrest, the Current's front page headline was, "Police believe Archer home for aged a murder factory."
I love that. I feel like headlines have not changed.
Oh,
it's
not.
It's been 100 years, 105 years.
I will say, writing a good headline is a skill that it really does not get enough accolades.
It is definitely one of the harder parts of my job.
It's hard. Yeah. And it's so, because it makes or breaks if someone's going to read something.
Oh, yeah, totally. But we love Murder Factory. Just that phrase.
Oh, it's so good.
Not the fact that it was one. So the trial began in June 1917, and it made headlines across the country. It was a big deal, you know, as any murder factory tends to be. So this is a part that I think is kind of funny, because at the state, so Amy killed like probably 48 people, like in the ballpark of 50 people. But
we're rounding up.
Yeah, we're just rounding up. But at the discretion of the state attorney, she was actually only tried for one murder. I guess because she was like a 40-year-old woman and they were like, she's harmless. Just don't look at that pile of bodies. Like,
exactly. Hey, look at these bodies. And I think it was hard too that like the only one they could fully tie her to was the one, but it's still, it's also like, honey, we got the receipts.
Right.
That's what I always say too, when it's like, there's like a serial killer and they only go to jail for like one person. And we're like, but I mean, at least they're going to jail, but yeah.
Totally. No, totally. You're like, but what about all the other people that he definitely killed? But so Amy was initially found guilty. She was sentenced to be hanged. But then, and I don't know really how, but her conviction actually ended up getting reversed on a technicality after she appealed it. So
went better than her not wanting to pay her back taxes.
Right. That's so true. I mean, the woman can appeal, let's say.
Hey, they don't call her Amy Appeal for nothing. Tune from Amy Osnick's Amy Appeal.
So, but then there was a second trial. It took place in 1919. Amy pleaded guilty to second degree murder and was sentenced to life imprisonment. Mm. Then she was later certified as insane. And so she was moved to the state mental hospital in Middletown, where she lived out her remaining years. She died there in 1962 at age 89.
Lived a long life.
Yeah. So some people think that she didn't do this. They say that all the evidence against her was circumstantial. Maybe she really did buy arsenic because of the rat problem. An interesting fact, though, is that between about the Civil War to around 1910, arsenic was actually used for embalming. So it's possible that explains how they found arsenic when they had these people's bodies exhumed.
That is okay. It is an interesting moment. Would the bodies be in them then for embalming? I guess so. Would the arsenic be in their bodies?
I think you have to do stuff with people's organs.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Yeah. But also 46 people and also all her husbands.
That's the thing where I'm just like, I don't buy it, but like, I guess it's interesting if you want to be like an Amy Gilligan, Duggan, whatever the fuck truther.
If you want to like Joni Mitchell's Look at Both Sides Now whole situation. If you don't know that song, I swear you do. From not The Holiday, Love Actually, but also I just know because I love Joni Mitchell. Another silver lining, in 1917, the same year the first trial, the Connecticut state legislator introduced a bill requiring elderly care facilities to be licensed, inspected, and report their deaths annually to the state board of charities. So these homes can't have 40 people dying and just go under the radar.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because one of my favorite Ask Reddit threads is when they ask like, what random rule did they make at your high school because of you? And this is funny. That, but like on a state level.
On a you can't skip lunch, and also you need to report the deaths in your elderly home.
Yeah. It'll be like, well, we had to make a rule for no chickens in the hallway because like my senior year prank or whatever. Like,
oh God, I'm so not a prank person.
No, I've never participated in a prank.
No, family. I'm like,
I guess April Fool's like dumb shit.
I like not even, I'm just like, guys, who has the time? Aren't we all tired? Don't we get pranked by life every damn day?
That's so funny. I'm also not a good liar, so I don't have like the
that's
the disposition to that's really fair. Pull it off.
Well, you know what? Someone pulled off after reading about this Amy case.
Oh, yes.
Arsenic and old lace. In the 1930s, a man by... So if you do want... if you want more of Amy, if you seek Amy, as Brittany would say, in the 1930s, a man by the name of Joseph Kesserling, we'll go with that, who read about Amy's case when he was a kid, decided to write a full-on fucking play. The name of the play was Arsenic and Old Lace.
Like, I feel like I've heard of that. I don't know. Have you?
It sounds it. I'm going to nod and say yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were into... perhaps plays.
I mean, I don't know how. I mean, there was some Broadway revival. I don't know. I don't really know plays from. I'm more of a musical person.
Okay.
If there was a song, if she was like, right, right. Luck be an old lace tonight, like maybe I would do it. Yeah.
If she was like, they had it coming.
Yeah. Wait, they should actually have put her in Chicago.
They should have. Oh my God.
So he went to Connecticut to study court records and speak to the people involved. It was a story of Amy, but with a fun few twists, because this man is making a Broadway play. Instead of Amy, it was two Brooklyn spinsters. Okay, looking.
It's going to be us. Like,
I know. I'm like, okay, we're Danny and Sarah. No, Abby and Martha Brewster.
Love it.
Love it. I kind of like the idea of it being like two people doing this together. They would kill elderly men.
I love
men.
A Thelma and Louise situation. Yeah,
that's fun. They'd kill elderly men by giving them elderberry wine. That's an emotional.
That sounds good. I don't know what elderberry. It is, but like, I'm down.
Well, I've had elderberry like in... Pim's cups. I don't know if I've ever had as one.
Oh, yes.
Spiked with arsenic, and they'd bury the bodies in the cellar. That shit is going to be... That elderberry wine has some funk to it then, if it's next to a lot of buried bodies. The play debuted in 1941 on Broadway and remained for 3 years, which is a feat.
Pretty good.
Yeah, 3 years. Hey, I want to say longer than SpongeBob the Musical. I guess that was because of COVID, but hey, shout out. There was also a movie starring Cary Grant. Love Cary Grant as Mortimer, not Tinsley, but one of the nephews. I would not be surprised if Tinsley was somehow involved with this. No shade to this girl's very rich.
That's true.
And they even had a revival in 1986. Huh.
So, all right.
Who knew? Good on Joseph, I guess. Joseph, yeah. And the Technicolor Arsenic. Yeah.
Wait, so I'm curious, did you know more about like how she actually poisoned the people, like aside from just arsenic?
So she, well, I think it was a lot of like what they would do is when they would bring the arsenic, it would be like mixed into all the food and stuff like that. That was what the alleged happened was. And then also she
I'm not
would
worried
just,
about this dead lady suing me. No, I'm not saying the
also true. And I know there was also a thing when we were on the talking on the other pod, they talked about just like she would like leave the arsenic like in rooms and out and about, because I guess inhaling it like that also, I guess it is kind of how that works. Like,
oh,
it would just be like super overtime of it. But it's also kind of like not impressive, but I'm shocked she didn't end up poisoning herself ever.
I know. I feel like I would fuck that up.
I would be like, I'd be making the Jell-O with the arsenic, and I'd be like, fuck, now I really want Jell-O. And I'd be like, which cup? Good right? luck cup. Like, I'd be the good luck cup. I'd have to see which one I would have that would not kill me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like that TikTok where it's like my first day as a hitman. And the guy like drops something into the water and then mixes it with his finger and then tastes it and then falls to the floor. It's so good.
Wait, that is so funny. I haven't seen that. TikTok still remains the purest app on this goddamn planet.
It's so good.
I'm so happy. You know what's more fun than TikTok?
Jorge's games. Yes.
Watch, he's like, I sent you guys two coffees. One of yours has the arsenic in it. That's the game.
One of you has 5 minutes to make it to the hospital or you die.
I actually am close to a hospital because I would go there to get COVID tested, so I can make it.
Negative test, Danny?
Yes, all negative.
Nice.
God, oh God, I would not have the energy to do a podcast with that. I don't even know what I'd be doing. I'd just be spiraling out of control.
Guys, I have COVID. I can't do work for the next 3 years.
Yeah. I hope you know, an email like that would be sent for me. So.
All right. So today we're doing something a little different. We've been doing a lot of competitive games, but last week it was so nice when we were all winners.
Aww.
And today we're going to play a Would You Rather, kind of a chill.
That's fun.
Would you rather, all based around living arrangements where you're living, to pay homage to this crime.
Oh.
All right. First up, would you rather your landlord be a murderous nun with about a 1% chance of killing you while you live there? So only 1%.
Okay.
Or a way too chatty old lady who knocks on your door twice a day to make sure you're okay and calls you if you're not home just in case and brings you baked goods, which are terrible, but she insists that you eat them in front of her and she constantly asks you to come over for tea.
It's like, would I rather be killed by a nun or killed with kindness?
It's only 1% chance though.
1% chance.
I gotta say, I had a neighbor once who was not super chatty, but she was an older woman, never gave us like baked goods, but would just smoke outside of our stoop and like blast SVU at all hours. And I loved her and I love chatting with her. I would invite myself over to try to hang out with her and she'd be like, I'm busy painting. So I'd go with the second one.
I know, that sounds fun. I'm also like, I don't know. I just, as a Jew, I just have to be very mindful of murderous people of other murderous clergy. Let's say.
That's true.
Like, so I'll deal with the annoying lady and yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Maybe if she wasn't a nun.
Well, also the thing is like, if I eat shitty cookies all the time, I would just, my body would start to hate cookies. So then I would like maybe curb my sweet tooth. So I'm really thinking long game.
Oh, that's true. That is a good long game.
I'm thinking, yeah, it's summer's coming. Could you tell I ordered clothes that don't fit?
True.
That's a different spiral.
All right. Next up, would you rather live in a tiny shoebox sized apartment in the West Village that's only about a 5-minute walk from work? Or
is that a self roast?
An amazing 5-bedroom house with a hot tub and backyard, but it's in Yonkers.
Ugh.
Oh, actually, I just watched a vlog of this girl. It's CNN Unlocked or CNBC Unlocked, something like that. This girl talking about getting her dream apartment in Yonkers. It looks so cute. Sold me on it. I'll go there because I want a hot tub.
But it's in Yonkers. It's so far.
I don't want to see people. It. You know what I mean? Also, I'm at that point. I'm just like, no, I'm okay. Even though I do love the West Village. Damn.
That's fair. I'll go with the West Village. I'm not, you know, I got to be in the city. Location, location, location.
Yeah, at least for now. I think if it was a place that I could get to easily, like on the path or the subway, I'd be more inclined, but how do you even get to Yonkers?
I think like the Metro North.
You just walk for 10 hours to get there?
Again, 10 hours.
If I'm eating shitty cookies and walking for 10 hours a day, I will be looking amazing in my hot tub alone.
Yeah.
Danny has it all figured out. Maybe you're looking at this wrong, Sarah.
I'm planning ahead. Oh, but then I can probably get a car then too up there.
Yeah, well, that's an added expense. You need to get a car. You need to take it to the mechanic. You got to get it. It's oil fixed or changed or whatever you do with cars.
I hope you know, I did not I forgot that you have to do that. So I'll hold off on a car.
All right. Next up, would you rather live in a mice infected apartment or a roach infected apartment?
No. Oh.
Okay. The thing is, like, I feel like as an animal or like a general creature, I'm definitely more afraid of like cockroaches because they're gross. And like mice out of context can be cute, but mice in my apartment are definitely scarier than cockroaches in my apartment.
I am also now thinking though, because I feel like it's a thing. A lot of animals that are small, they're always like, they're more afraid of you. So I feel like mice would be afraid of me walking around. I don't think cockroaches give a shit.
They don't give a shit? Okay. But, so gross.
Also, I don't know.
Ugh, I guess I choose cockroaches. I feel like I've dealt with it before. Whereas mice just seem like, I don't know, like a cockroach is like, it's not going to do anything to me. Like mice can bite and like, I feel
cockroaches can bite.
Can't. What? They can?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. I'm going to have mice. Not. I'll pick mice and then I'll just like leave. I'll like, because I'll be in Yonkers with six fucking bedrooms.
There we go.
One of my bedrooms will just throw cheese in there so they can just have that as their fucking place.
The cheese room.
Yeah. Orange and fromage. Yeah.
If you get a cat, maybe you can deal with the mice problem.
Oh, true.
Oh, wait, fuck. You know? You found a good solution.
Cut to me living alone in Yonkers with six bedrooms and a cat just throwing cheese everywhere to get rid of mice.
I'm like, guys, I love come that visit. For you.
Actually, can I tell you something? Yeah, it would be nice.
All right. Would you rather live with a roommate who is an amazing chef and he cooks for you often all these amazing meals, but he yells at you if you don't do the dishes or if you touch any of his kitchen utensils, and he's super like compulsive about the kitchen area. Okay. Or a lazy roommate who's cool, good to hang out with, doesn't do much cleaning around the house. He would never buy garbage bags or clean the sink or anything, but he's just kind of there and keeps it himself.
I'm going to
take the food.
I'm going to take the food too, because I'm like, it's rightfully so that I should clean for someone who cooked for me. And yeah, if I'm, I don't need to touch their stuff. I don't cook. I don't give a shit.
It's true. But then it's like, spatula. I want to be able to make breakfast, and do I have to like get all my own utensils? Like, that's annoying.
Yeah. Well, daddy's just ordering delivery and with his cat and his mice.
Guys, let me tell you, Yonkers, you can get a nice food for $5 delivery, I'm sure. So like, actually probably not, but like, I don't need that.
Right.
And I would hate, oh my God, just like the laziness would like get on me so much after a while. Yeah. I feel like of just like slobberiness.
And that's what you're going to get. I would just be really annoyed to have to like clean for two people.
Ugh. And I can probably clean for myself.
Yeah. No, thank you.
All right. Next up, would you rather be neighbors with a tap dancer who lives above your bedroom, who practices every day at 5 a.m. like clock?
Oh.
Or next door neighbors that have very loud karaoke parties every night until the wee hours of the morning, and they're like really, really bad at singing. They're awful. They can't keep it tuned.
Ugh, I guess I'll take the tap dancer, because at least you can try. Like, I could buy her a rug. I have
you can't
really
tap dance on a rug.
You can't tap dance on a rug.
That defeats the purpose of the tapping.
You can't?
That's why it's called tap dancing. It's not rug dancing. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
You gotta have
the
tap.
You're right.
Yeah, I would do the karaoke because I would join for a while. I would join, make my own give everyone cocktails, get everyone so drunk that they'll just be too tired. They'll
put
be like,
arsenic
I'm done.
In the cocktail.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
You gotta take the Amy Light route. Make some scissor, put a little Benadryl in all of it, but I'll be done by 9 p.m. I get a solid shut eye.
Obsessed.
And I get a few songs in too. It's all a win.
I love that.
If they get mad at me, I'm like, oh, you guys don't do this with your drinks? Weird. Okay, sorry. I missed the memo. Okay.
You don't party like that? Oh. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are wusses? Got it.
All right, let's end on a high note. So last up, would you rather live in an idyllic log cabin with beautiful pond and all manner of berries and fresh vegetables around that you can pick off and eat? At nighttime, you can see the Milky Way. It's super beautiful out there. Or a beautiful beach house in a tropical island with fresh coconuts and pineapples, which are perfect for bottomless piña coladas.
Ooh. I mean, listen, you know who this audience is, aka us.
Yeah, I don't. I want the beach.
Yeah, I love a beach moment.
I don't even love a beach moment. I love to just like, I love an ocean breeze.
Oh.
And I'm not going to like, I just know the second I like walk in and eat a blueberry on the grass, I'll be like, okay, end. Like, I don't enjoy that. I mean, like, it's lost on me. Like, it's pretty to drive by, but I just, I don't connect with nature on that level, unfortunately.
Yeah. I feel like one of my hobbies is just sitting outside in the sun and reading, and that's more conducive to a beach. So.
I thought you were going
to
say sitting outside and drinking. And I'm like, well, exactly. Yeah, that's why I want to be at the beach.
Both. Why not both? You know?
Yeah.
Why not both? Yeah, I think I would go with a beach house too. Especially now that the weather is getting so nice. Like, I just want to be outside all the time.
God, truly.
Right.
Living out there would make my dreams come true.
It is legit. So hard to focus on anything with this weather.
I know.
So nice. Well, thank you, Jorge. This was absolutely really fun.
I like that. Yeah, I feel like we got to know Sarah. We didn't. I feel like all three of us kind of disagreed on some things. But, you know,
I'll
overcame at the beach. We overcame at the beach. I know Yonkers is a quick commute to a beach, I'm sure.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, thank you so much, Jorge. We'll catch you next time.
Of course.
And thank you guys so much for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to us right now. Give us 5 stars. We really appreciate it. Join our Facebook group. It's called Not Another True Crime Group. Just put something about the podcast in the description. We'll let you in. The questions. And then also follow us on our new Instagram handle at Not Another True Crime. We've been growing. It's pretty exciting.
It's the name. I don't know what's in a name. Maybe they just like people are just pumped about it. Yeah, I'm happy to see that.
Very into it.
Keep on following us there. Keep on DMing us there. And you could also follow us on our personals. I'm at Cashmere Danny Cashmere with a K.
I'm Sarah Lameem, Sarah with no H.
God bless. Good for you. And we'll see you guys next week.
God bless. Good for you.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.